Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to focus on the presence and power of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're reading each day, we're hearing stories of the apostles since Easter, the transformation that has happened in the lives of Peter and John and all of the apostles. And today, yesterday and today, the first reading at Mass is the story of the gospel going to the Gentiles and the conversion of Cornelius and his entire household. And I think it's just such a beautiful story in its own context. We'll take a just good look at it and the amazing way God is at work. But the apostles are experiencing something that at a new level in their lives that came about through their experience of what we talked about yesterday, Jesus having had appeared to them, Luke chapter 24, Luke's account of the resurrection encounter Jesus had, the first one with the apostles, and Jesus describes to them the purpose of why he, the Messiah, had to die. Despite what most people thought in the Jewish world, that the Messiah would not die, especially a humiliating death on a cross, but that he would be a triumphant king. He would reestablish and liberate the Jewish people and lead them and guide them, and like King David had. But Jesus showed the apostles, the first thing he talked to them about was, now, what you witnessed in my crucifixion, my death and resurrection is there in the teaching of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What happened was plan A, not plan B. The Messiah came to die, to shed his blood. And through that act of love, of his dying on the cross, he destroyed the principalities and powers and what really binds, not just the people of Israel, but the whole human race. And he told the apostles, you witness this. And it all had to happen for this purpose, that you, the first witnesses, will go forward and the church in history will carry it on until the Lord comes again to bring people to repentance and the forgiveness of sins and to be baptized and to enter the life of the church. That's the essence of why the church exists. It's important for us in this season, brothers and sisters, to dive deeply into this and own it ourselves. We're not just remembering an amazing transformation in the apostles themselves in the early Christian community and the fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen. But this is our story. This is how our story began. And we too who have been baptized into Christ have received power from on high, have been clothed with power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the first agent of the church's mission, moving the church in history. And part of that reality of living in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who animates every sacrament. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings life, makes present the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus at every Mass. At confirmation, we receive special graces and spiritual gifts and charisms and the like to be able to help fulfill the mission of the church. The Holy Spirit's at the center of everything in the church. And that's meant to be a lived reality for us, not just a theoretical understanding. You are a Christian. If you're baptized into Christ, you're in his church. You've been christened. You've been anointed. And it wasn't just a one-time ritual. That sign, those sacramental signs, are visible signs of invisible realities that are at work in you and in me. And the church is healthy only when she's aware of what she's been given and living from it consciously, yielding to the Holy Spirit. So you see again today, in Acts 11, I'll begin with yesterday's reading, which is the beginning of the story. It's going to be the story about Peter and Cornelius. I just want to say a couple of things about Cornelius here. And chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles describes him this way. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his house, gave alms liberally to the people, and prayed constantly to God. Here's a footnote from Ignatius Study Bible. Cornelius was among a class of devout Gentiles who admired Judaism, known from antiquity as the God-fearers. They worshiped Yahweh, attended synagogue services, and followed many of the moral and religious precepts of the Torah. Because they stopped short of receiving circumcision, they were not considered Jewish converts in the full and strict sense. That's who Cornelius is. And now the Holy Spirit comes to do this amazing miracle, having led Peter and the apostles on the day of Pentecost, first to preach to the Jewish people and to go right into the temple, as I said yesterday, because the saving, every Jewish person in the world, just like every other human being in the world, needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ and come into the waters of baptism, as Jesus said, to repent and to believe that he's the one Savior of the world sent by the Father. He truly is the Messiah of Israel. So Acts 11, 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcision believers confronted him. Now, this is Peter's description of what happened to him on the day when the Lord helped Peter understand that the gospel needed to go to the Gentiles. And he really shocked Peter. So the word got to the powers that be in Jerusalem and other places, and they wanted an explanation, essentially, of why Peter did what he did. Was he had table fellowship with a Gentile, with the centurion, Cornelius, and his family. So Peter goes on. They said, "You enter the house of uncircumcised people, and you ate with them." Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and I saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. And then I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.'" So what is Peter talking about here? He's got a clear vision. He's been given a vision. The Holy Spirit is at work communicating to him at the command of Jesus. And what Peter's responding to is that, "Look, I've never eaten anything unclean." So he's talking about the dietary laws that the Jewish people were required to live by. And Peter, sounds like Peter did it his entire life. "Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened," Peter said, "this happened three times. And then everything was drawn up again into the sky." A Trinitarian, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, done three times, communicated to Peter. And his whole world is being turned upside down here. And this is the kingdom going forth for the salvation of the whole world. But Peter's just discovering, even though 3 years of being taught and formed by Jesus, having the great experience on the day of Pentecost, he had no problem understanding, we're going right to the temple, or we're going right to the heart of the Jewish people, our people, who are meant to receive all that the Messiah has come to give. But it wasn't yet fully in their minds and hearts how radical the transformation was meant to be and what Jesus accomplished. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were. They had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me." So brothers of St. Peter, and then Cornelius and some of the soldiers. He was a centurion, so he was responsible for 100 soldiers. He was a respected guy. So, and he had his own family, his own household. The angel appeared to them and said, "Go find Peter in Joppa." And so Peter's describing what happened. "These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house." First, Cornelius had come to Peter, and then Peter went to the house of Cornelius, which is where the big controversy takes place from the point of view of the other apostles. "He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who who's called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. Let's not miss this. He will speak to you. He will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. Brothers and sisters, this is how the church is built throughout the world. St. John Paul II, in his document on evangelization, said, the church is born of the preaching of this message, the truth of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, calling them to repentance. So Peter is bringing salvation to Cornelius's house. And then he says this, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gifts he gave to us, when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? When they heard this, they stopped objecting and they glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles. They too are included. When the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius, it says, chapter 10, that they began to speak in tongues, just like happened on the day of Pentecost. And this is what Peter's referring to. The Holy Spirit was manifest there and came upon the Gentiles, just like it did the apostles in the upper room. And so Peter said, how could I? How could I hold back? And they understood by God's grace, and they began to glorify God. And what was their glorifying about? It's, remember, you see that phrase, I think about Our Lady and the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because the Almighty One has done great things for me. And here the apostles are saying, they're glorifying God, saying the Almighty One has done great things. He's bringing salvation to the Gentiles. God has granted then life-giving repentance to the Gentiles as well. That's our story. And Cornelius and his household received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Peter said he remembered the words of Jesus, and those are recorded. This very thing Peter mentions here is recorded in the first chapter of Acts. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be plunged. You will be immersed. You will be, another way of saying it is what Jesus said in Luke 24, you will be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's part of what every baptized person has inherited. We're born again in baptism by water and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and God comes to dwell in us and live in us as in a temple. But that same power, that dunamis, that dynamite that breaks down the kingdom of darkness is in every person who's been baptized and confirmed. And we have actually been sent by the Lord in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in the church to walk in the footsteps of the apostles, spreading the gospel. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.